Psalm chapter 55, and the text this morning is going to be verses 16 and 17. You know, I am convinced more than ever that one area that we have failed greatly in as believers is in this area of prayer. And I'm not just talking about our lack of prayer, but really our understanding and our belief in the power of prayer. We wonder why things seem like at times we're just beating our head against a wall. Whether it be physically, whether it be in our life, whether it be spiritually, we seem like, God, I just can't seem to make things happen. God, it just seems like I'm stuck in the mud. I'll tell you, I really believe that many times the result, that is the result of a lack of prayer. Of real prayer. Of believing prayer. Of prayer, you know, that says, hey, I believe in prayer. I believe in its power. I believe that prayer brings results. In Psalm 55, David, just to give you a little bit of the context here, Psalm 55, we see in verses 1 through 14, David relating to his trouble. So let's read together Psalms 55, verse 1. The Bible says, give ear to my prayer, O God, and hide not thyself from my supplication. Attend unto me and hear me. I mourn in my complaint and make a noise because of the voice of the enemy, because of the oppression of the wicked, for they cast iniquity upon me, and in wrath they hate me. David's in a bad place. He says, man, it's rough, Lord. Verse 4. My heart is sore pained within me, and the terrors of death are falling upon me. I mean, David's to the place in his life where he feels like dying. He says, those terrors have fallen upon me. Verse 6. Fearfulness and trembling are come upon me, and horror have overwhelmed me. And I said, oh, that I had wings like a dove, for then I would fly away and be at rest. Lo, then would I wander far off and remain in the wilderness. Selah. I would hasten my escape from the windy storm and the tempest. Destroy, O Lord, and divide their tongues. For I have seen violence and strife in the city. Day and night they go about it upon the walls thereof. Mischief also and sorrow are in the midst of it. Wickedness is in the midst thereof. Deceit and guile depart not from her streets. For it was not an enemy that reproached me, then I could have borne it. Neither was it he that hated me that did magnify himself against me, then would I have hid myself from him. But it was thou, a man mine equal, my guide and mine acquaintance. We took sweet counsel together and walked unto the house of God in company. Let death seize upon them, and let them go down quick into hell, for wickedness is in their dwellings and among them. And then our text, verses 16 and 17. As for me, I will call upon God, and the Lord shall save us, or save me. Evening and morning and noon will I pray, and cry aloud, and He shall hear my voice. David here in the first 15 verses recounts and relates. Where are you at? He says, I'm in a bad spot. Well, I tell you, there's times, even this week, I felt like I'm in a bad spot. I felt in ways similar to how David was feeling. And I'm sure if we were to take a little raise of hands here this morning, there would probably be many of us that would raise our hands and say, Pastor, in the past month, the past couple months, there's been times I've felt this way. There's been times I felt like, man, it is coming from every side. David here, after feeling downcast and defeated, you know what David remembers? He remembers, I believe, the privilege of prayer. David says, hey, all these bad things are coming upon me, and you know what? The wicked are going to get their just desserts. But in verse 16, he says, as for me, what am I going to do? He says, I will what? Call upon God. And the Lord shall save me. David says, man, it's bad, it's rough, it's coming from every side, but you know what I'm going to do? I am going to call upon God. And there's one thing I know, God will and shall save me. David remembers this privilege of prayer. You know what? And again, going back to what I said in introduction, I really believe that many believers have forgotten, many of us have forgotten the tremendous, glorious privilege that belongs to us as children of God. We have a privilege that is unequaled by any other in the world. And you know what that privilege is? We can go and before the throne of God at any time in prayer. What a blessing to know that we have that ability. Before we begin, let's pray. And I'm going to share with you why prayer is a privilege this morning. And I pray God to speak to our hearts. Let's pray together. Father, I ask right this very moment that You would use this message. Stir our hearts about prayer, Father. Stir my heart. I know times, Father, I've been a little lax in my prayer. I pray that, Lord, I don't believe what I pray. And God, how that must grieve You. And pray that it would grieve me. I pray that, Father, we might get a zeal for prayer this morning. And we might leave out of here excited, ready to get on our knees and pray until the answer comes. Bless this message. I pray that You would empower it. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen. So you say, well, Pastor, why is it such a privilege to pray? Well, number one, prayer allows access to God. In verse 17, David says this. He says, evening and morning and at noon, what will I pray? And cry aloud, and lastly, what's it say? And He shall hear my voice. When we pray, listen, we're not just praying and the words are escaping off into the ether. When we pray, we are addressing the very Creator of heaven and earth. In Psalm 15, verses 1 through 9, the Bible says this. I'm sorry, I must have the wrong one written down here. Well, if you look at Psalm 16, I think that's really the one I wanted. It says, preserve me, O God, for in Thee do I put my trust. O my soul, Thou hast said unto the Lord, Thou art my God. My goodness extended not to Thee, but to the saints that are in the earth, and to the excellent in whom is all my delight. Their sorrow shall be multiplied that hasten after another God. Their drink offerings of blood will I not offer, nor take upon their names into my lips. The Lord is the portion of mine inheritance and of my cup. Thou maintainest my lot. The lions are fallen to me in pleasant places. Yea, I have a goodly heritage. I will bless the Lord who hath given me counsel. My reins also instruct me in the night season. I have set the Lord always before me. Because He is at my right hand, I shall not be moved. Therefore my heart is glad, and my glory rejoiceth. My flesh also shall rest in hope. For Thou wilt not leave my soul in hell, neither wilt Thou suffer Thine Holy One to see corruption. Thou wilt show me the paths of light. In Thy presence is fullness of joy. At Thy right hand there are pleasures forevermore. We have the privilege in prayer to come before God and to trust that He will guide us, to trust that He will lead us. He is the Creator of heaven and earth. We are not praying to false gods. We are not praying to gods that cannot hear. We are praying to the very God of heaven. Number two, when we pray, not only are we addressing the Creator, but number two, prayer brings us into His presence. In Hebrews chapter 4 and verse 16, the Bible says this. It says, let us therefore come boldly unto the throne of grace, that we may obtain mercy and find grace to help in time of need. We are commanded, we are exhorted in Hebrews chapter 4, to come boldly to God's throne. You know, in olden times, and even today, you couldn't just walk into the White House and gain an audience with the president like that. Actually, it's funny, when you read history, back in the mid to early 1800s, you could. You could actually go to the White House, knock on the door, come here to see the president, and he had time to let you in and talk to him. Nowadays, you have to go through, you know, security, and rightfully so, the gauntlet of security. You can't just go and present yourself. Good luck with that. In the olden days, when the kings, it was forbidden for you to come and just stand before the king. You remember the story of Esther?
Remember, Esther felt called of God to go, and she was trying to save her people, remember? And her people were being threatened by a man by the name of Haman.
And he wanted to destroy the Jews because of Mordecai and how Mordecai had made him mad. And so Mordecai came to his niece Esther and said, "Hey, listen, you've got to do something here. If you don't do something, we're all going to be destroyed. God has put you as the queen for a purpose. God has placed you into this position to save His people." At that time, back then,
you couldn't just go before the king.
But Esther took a chance, didn't she? She took some risks. And she went into the king before his presence. And then and there, she could have been taken away and killed. Why?
Because she dared to enter the king's presence without his request.
But as she entered his presence, what did he do? Remember, he lifted his scepter, pardoning her, blessing her intrusion. But unlike the kings of old and unlike the president of today, listen, you don't need to have God request your attendance. You don't have to have an invitation from God to pray. He's already extended it. He said, "Just come. I'm here. I'm ready to listen. I want to hear your prayers. Just come before me." And what a privilege it is to know that prayer allows us access to God. You don't need the president. You don't need a king. You got God. Prayer gives you that access to Him. Talk about an all-access pass.
Prayer is just that.
It gives us an audience with the King of Kings and the Lord of Lords. God invites us, and that's what's exciting. He wants us to come before Him in prayer. In Psalm 50 and verse number 15, the Bible says, "And call upon Me in the day of trouble. I will deliver thee, and thou shalt glorify Me." God says, "Call upon Me. Talk to Me." I mean, He wants to hear from us. What a blessing. Number two, prayer allows access to God. Number two, prayer is available to all believers. In John chapter 15 and verse number 17, the Bible says this. It says, "These things I command you, that ye love one another." God makes prayer available to all of us. There's not one person this morning that cannot go to God in prayer. If you look at verse number 16, He says, "Ye have not chosen Me, but what? I have chosen you and ordained you." God says, You didn't choose Me. I chose you. I've ordained you. I've called you. I've placed My hand upon you. And you know what? I want to hear from you. If you look in the latter part of verse 16, He says that you should go and bring forth fruit, and that your fruit should remain. That whatsoever you shall ask of the Father in My name, He may give it to you. God says, just pray. It's available to all believers, to all that have been chosen of God, to all that have called upon His name. You know, many great Bible prayers have fallen from the lips of the ordinary. You say, "Well, Paul, he wasn't real ordinary. He was a great man of God." And I would agree with you. Peter, yes. But you know, many of the great Bible prayers came from what we would consider nobodies.
People like you and I.
Yeah.
I'm not a nobody pastor.
I am. You know, the grand scheme of things, I'm a nobody. And you know what? I prefer to be that way sometimes. Some of the greatest prayers of the Bible came from nobody. Think of Hannah. I love the story of Hannah. What a godly woman.
Here Hannah is, grieved that she cannot bear children, grieved that God has closed her womb.
And so she goes to the temple, and what does she do? Prays. She was a nobody. In fact, she was looked down upon because she was unable to bear children. She goes before God, and in 1 Samuel chapter 1, verses 1 through 20, we see a great prayer. Go there. I didn't plan on reading this, but what a beautiful prayer it is. This is just some lady. 1 Samuel chapter 1. She comes. Always cracks me up, verse 8. Her husband.
So she's weeping and bitter that she can't have children. And what time does her husband make?
Now, he's a sensitive old fella, isn't he? Yeah, verse 8. He says, "Listen, Elkanah, her husband, her Hannah, why weepest thou? Why eatest thou not? And why is thy heart grieved?" He says, "What's your problem? Am I not better than thee than 10 sons?"
Yeah, typical man, right?
Yeah, okay.
I knew you ladies appreciate that.
That's how I read that, I laugh. I'm like, you know what? He was a knucklehead just like the rest of us. And then verse number 9, we see Hannah rises up after they'd eaten in Shiloh and after they had drunk. Now Eli the priest sat upon a seat by a post of the temple of the Lord, and she was in bitterness of soul and prayed unto the Lord and wept sore, and she vowed a vow and said, "O Lord of hosts, if thou wilt indeed look upon the affliction of thine handmaiden and remember me and not forget thine handmaiden, but will give unto thine handmaiden a man-child, then I will give him unto the Lord all the days of his life, and there shall no razor come upon his head." Hannah prays this prayer, and she says, "Lord, I'm a nobody, but I pray that you'd hear my prayer." And you know what? We know the end of the story, don't we?
God hears her prayer.
God blesses her with a child, and she names his name Samuel. And Samuel goes and he becomes the man of God for the nation of Israel. If you look in 1 Samuel chapter 2, we see her thanking the Lord. That's another beautiful prayer. It says, "And Hannah prayed and said, My heart rejoiceth in the Lord. Mine horn is exalted in the Lord. My mouth is enlarged over mine enemies, because I rejoice in thy salvation. There is none holy as the Lord, for there is none beside thee, neither is there any rock like our God." And she goes on and on. Just a beautiful prayer of thanksgiving to God. But my point in saying this is that here is this nobody who with God is a somebody, who with God her prayer is heard and is answered. Think of the publican. In Luke chapter 18, you remember the publican and the Pharisee?
The Pharisee, he came to the temple and how did he pray? Remember this? "Oh Lord, I thank thee that I'm not like a sinner over here."
Up in the air. I mean, and you have to understand, this was
out in the middle of the temple court.
I mean, there are hundreds of people gathering around. And here's this guy in the middle of this temple court, lifting his hands and as loud as he can, praying to God. But if you see the attitude of the publican,
he falls upon his face before God and says, "Lord, be merciful to me,
I'm nobody, God." I think of the thief on the cross in Luke chapter 23.
Talk about a nobody. He was less than a nobody. In fact, he was so undesirable that the stake had desired to put him to death. He wasn't worth living any longer. But there upon that cross, that nobody, that less than was in the trial. I said, "Lord, be with me. Remember these parables." God is
God hears our prayers. Prayer is available to all believers. Never feel like you have no right to pray. God calls us to pray. Our family needs us to pray. Our community needs us to pray. Our church, this church needs you to pray. That is going to be the secret. You want to have a blessed family, it's going to be prayer. Mamas and daddies, you better be on your knees today and every day praying for your family. You want to see our community turned around from God? You know what you need to do? You need to pray. You need to pray. You want to see God do something in our church? You need to pray. Prayer is a privilege that deserves to be exercised. Number 3, prayer anticipates God's answer. In John chapter 14, the Bible says this. Prayer, oftentimes in the Bible, we're promised answers to prayer. John 14, verse 13, the Bible says, "And whatsoever ye shall ask in my name, that will I do, that the Father may be glorified in the Son. If ye shall ask anything in my name, I will do it." You know why prayer is such a privilege? Because He has promised to listen, and He has promised to answer. He's promised. I think sometimes we fail to pray as God intends and wants us to pray is because we don't believe God will answer. We don't believe that God hears. Hey, I say to you this morning, God not only hears, but He is willing and ready to answer your prayers. Jeremiah 33:3. I know I'm going to a lot of scriptures this morning, but they're all good scriptures regarding prayer. Jeremiah 33:3. The Bible says this. Let me get there. It says, God says, call on me, and what? I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things which thou knowest not. That sounds like a challenge to me, folks.
God says, call on me. Do it. Call on me. And he says, I will answer thee.
Again, prayer anticipates God's answer. We should have confidence when we pray. Listen, you're not just talking in the air. You ever been on a cell phone?
You get on the cell phone and you're talking to someone and they drop and you don't realize it.
Yeah, and, you know, and what I'm laughing about is when I try for the next couple minutes to call back and it's busy. I can hear them still on the line.
I'll say, this is something good for you to pass off.
It goes straight to voicemail. We can be assured with God that
He's always there. He's never going to drop.
It's not that we're talking to ourselves. God always hears. And He will answer. In Luke chapter 12, verse 32, I tell you, this sort of when I was looking through this message and studying it, look at this in verse number 31. He says, but rather seek ye, Luke 12:31, he says, but rather seek ye the kingdom of God, and all these things shall be added unto you. Verse 32, fear not, little flock. Jesus here says to these men, his disciples, says, fear not, my little sheep. For what? God, for it is your Father's good pleasure to give you the kingdom. He says, don't fear. Don't worry. God wants you to give you the kingdom. He wants to give you. In fact, I'll make the statement this morning that God wants to answer our prayers more than we want them to be answered sometimes. God is willing. God is ready. He says, I want to bless. I want to give to you what you need. I want to give to you what you're praying for. But you know what? I need you to pray. I need you to believe. Prayer anticipates God's answer. I'll tell you, that's why the prayer of faith is possible. Because God wants to answer. God wants to give us. Number four, prayer achieves the impossible. And this is where it gets exciting. Go to Matthew. Turn with me there. Matthew chapter 17 and verse number 20. I'm going to give you a little context here of this verse. In Matthew chapter 17, Jesus has just ascended into heaven, or not into heaven, upon the Mount of Transfiguration. And upon that mountain, they meet with Moses and Elijah. And there Jesus is transfigured into the form and the appearance of who He is, and that is God. And upon this mountain, the three closest disciples, Peter, James, and John, see this. They see God do a great thing. But while they're on this mountain, you know what? The rest of the disciples are struggling. The remainder of the nine are struggling to be cast out of the devil. And in Matthew chapter 17, in verse number 14, it says, and when they were come to the multitude, there come to him a certain man, kneeling down to him and saying, Lord, have mercy on my son, for he is a lunatic and sore vexed. For oft times he falleth into the fire and oft into the water. And I brought him to thy disciples, and they could not cure him. I mean, these were men that had already been sent out with God's power to cast out devils, to heal the sick. But they bring this man brings his son, possessed of a devil, trying to destroy himself, to the disciples, and they could not cast the devil out. Verse number 17, Jesus says this. He says, then Jesus answered and said, O faithless and perverse generation, how long shall I be with you? How long shall I suffer you? Bring him hither to me. You know, Jesus here calls it out. He says, y'all are faithless, y'all are perverse. Wow. That's a strong review. Well, why would Jesus say that? What was the problem? Verse 18 through 20. Is Jesus rebuked the devil, and he departed out of him. And the child was cured from that very hour. So, the disciples still stinging from this rebuke. What did they do? Then came the disciples to Jesus apart and said, why could not we cast him out? Lord,
you stink us alive back there. Call us a bunch of faithless and perverse folks.
So why couldn't we cast them out? What did Jesus say in verse 20? Jesus said unto them, because of your what? Unbelief. For verily I say unto you, if you have faith as a grain of mustard seed, ye shall say unto this mountain, remove hence to yonder place, and it shall be removed, and nothing shall be impossible unto you. Prayer is able to unleash the supernatural in this natural world. Prayer is able to call down the power of God upon any situation to care for it. Remember Elijah on Mount Carmel? Do you realize? He prays
63 words, and what does God do? Notice it's not a repetition prayer. No, it's good. You know, but we continue to pray. Elijah prayed a 63 word prayer. You know what happened to him? God sent fire. Fire so intense
that it licked up not only the water and the sacrifice, but it
vaporized the very rocks.
All because Elijah believed and prayed. You say, that's impossible. You're right. But with God, nothing shall be impossible. Do you remember Abraham for Sodom? Here Abraham prays and God says, I'm going to destroy Sodom, Abraham. Abraham says, Lord, for 100 righteous men would you destroy it? The Lord said, no. He says, but there's not 100 there. He says, well, Lord, how about 50? He said, no, if there was 50, I wouldn't destroy it, but there's not 50 there. Lord, how about 10? And he continues to go down and God says, I won't destroy it if I can find that many righteous there. But God couldn't find that many righteous. All because Abraham prayed. Jesus for the multitude in John chapter 6 and verse 11. Let me read this verse since we're in that area. John 6:11, the Bible says this. It says, and Jesus took the loaves, and when he had given thanks, and distributed to the disciples, and the disciples to them that were set down, and likewise of the fishes, as many as they would. Jesus says, you know what? I'm going to pray, and God's going to bless us with food. Supernatural things happening in a natural world. You know, there are many here this morning that are living impossible lives because of poverty. Lives that God has saved you from. The sin and the degradation God has saved you from because of prayer. Never say God cannot do it. God can do it. Prayer is a privilege because He has the ability to achieve the impossible. Let me give you one last verse on this point. James chapter 5 and verse number 15. James 5:15. The Bible says, and the prayer of faith shall save the sick, and the Lord shall raise him up. And if you have committed sins, they shall be forgiven him. Listen, God wants to heal. God wants to bless. He wants His will to be done. And prayer is the avenue by which that is achieved. Last 2 points here. Number 5, prayer advances the kingdom of God. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 and verse number 1. 2 Thessalonians chapter 3 verse 1. Paul asked the Thessalonians, he says, finally, brethren, pray for us that the word of the Lord may have free course and be glorified even as it is with you. How many stories have we heard where someone in a remote location, thousands of miles away from another, prays? Prayer. I tell you, prayer has that ability. Prayer advances the kingdom of God. You know, we talk about prayer warriors. They're essential. We need folks to pray. We need folks to battle in prayer. I tell you, we're not. This is a battle. We are in a fight. True prayer, true power doesn't lie. Listen, in this church, if God doesn't do anything, the power of God does not lie in a preacher or in a church. It lies in prayer. That is the origin of God's power. The real power source is to those who know how to use the prayer closet. When we lack power, when we're not seeing God's kingdom advancing, I'm going to say many times we could trace it back to the lack of prayer. Real prayer. Prayer opens doors, it hinders evil, it touches the sick, it convicts sinners. I tell you this morning, prayer works. You know what our need is? I said this morning we need more workers. Yes, we do. We need more people to plug themselves in and say, I'm going to do this ministry, Pastor. This is going to be my outreach. But you know what we need more than that? We need people to pray. We need folks to say, Pastor, I will pray. We need folks to come. I haven't really announced it because it's not something that, you know, everybody has to come to. But, you know, Saturday nights we come together and we pray right here at this place. 6 o'clock. We need more people to pray. We need more people to say, you know what, I'm going to come. And let's pray for our church. Let's pray for the lost. Let's pray that God will do something. But it goes far beyond corporate prayer. We as individuals need to get it in our hearts and in our minds that I'm going to pray. I'm going to be a prayer warrior. I'm going to pray for my family. I'm going to pray for my church. I'm going to pray for my co-workers. I'm going to pray for my community. Paul was a prayer warrior. He believed in prayer and the potential of prayer. Prayer will make you useful in God's kingdom. You say, Pastor, I've got some things in my life right now I just don't know how to deal with. I don't know the answer to. I say to you this morning, you know what what you got to do? The answer is prayer. And not only yourself praying, but getting some others to pray with you. Agreeing in prayer. Asking God to answer. Let me give you the last point. Number 6, prayer advertises God's greatness. In 1 Kings chapter 18, I'm not going to read the whole thing, but we sort of want to mention this story. 1 Kings chapter 18, and we'll read the whole chapter. We see Elijah coming and there with the prophets of Baal. And the context is this. Here's Elijah, and on the other side we got Elijah in one corner, we got Ahab and the prophets of Baal in the other. And Ahab and the prophets of Baal, the people have fallen into idol worship. And so Elijah comes and they have a face off. And if you remember the story, the prophets of Baal, they spend hours doing what? Trying to call down fire from heaven. Remember, Elijah said, okay, whoever can call down fire from heaven, let him be the God of Israel. So they spend hours running around, and they get to the place where they're so anguished and they're so troubled that their God has not sent fire. They begin to cut themselves, self-mutilate themselves, so that their God will hear them. And of course, Elijah, being the good preacher he is, he just sticks it to him, doesn't he? He says, cry a little louder, because maybe he's out of walk. Maybe he's out of time. Maybe do just shout a little louder so he can hear you. Elijah then, in verse number 30, it says, Elijah said unto the people, all the people come near unto me, and all the people came near unto him, and he repaired the altar of the Lord that was broken down. And we know the story. Elijah takes and he builds the altar back up and he puts the bullet on the altar. And not only does he do that, but he takes a barrel of water and he pours it on the altar, the sacrifice. He wanted to prove that God, that prayer does the impossible. And he prays. Verse number 36. We already mentioned this, but we'll read it. It says, and it came to pass at the time of offering of the evening sacrifice that Elijah the prophet came near and said, Lord God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel, let it be known this day that thou art God in Israel, and that I am thy servant, and that I have done all these things of thy word. Hear me, O Lord. Hear me, that this people may know that thou art the Lord God, and that thou hast turned their heart back again. And the next sentence is what? Then the fire of the Lord fell. And it consumed the burnt sacrifice and the wood and the stones and the dust. I mean, I don't know what happened that day, but this big bolt of fire came down from heaven and left a crater. And look at what happens. Look at the result in verse 39. And when all the people saw it, they what? They fell on their... I would too. Oh, God, where's the house? You know, talk about lightning. You know, we joke about people getting struck by lightning. This literally was what really happened. And they saw. They saw God, the fire of God, come down, and they fell upon their faces, and they said what? The Lord, He is the God. The Lord, He is the God. These folks realized who was God. And you know why?
All because of prayer. All because one man prayed and said, God, show them that you're God.
Show them that you are the God of Abraham, Isaac, and of Israel. Elijah prayed and God answered. People glorified God as the Lord. Prayer advertises greatness as few other things can. How? Prayer declares His grace. He allows sinners access. To me, that just shows how gracious God is, that He allows you and I to pray. Number two, prayer declares His goodness. That He is willing to hear and answer. Not because of our merit, just because He's good. He wants to answer. He wants to give us what He asked for. Number three, prayer declares His greatness. What does prayer say? Prayer says He is worthy to be bowed down to. I doubt there's many in here that would bow down to me.
You know, if I came here and said,
that's
the message we've got to be here, you say, Pastor, you're all wrong. And rightfully so, I wouldn't want you to. Because I'm not rude for the rest of God. What have I done for the rest of God? Who is He?
He's worthy to be bowed down to. He's worthy to worship. Number four, prayer declares His glory. It is through the avenue of prayer that God reveals Himself, His purposes, and His ways to man. Prayer unleashes the power of the Almighty God on the earth. Prayer says, I can't. That's really what, when you pray, this is what you're saying. I can't,
but I know what.
I can't! Prayer is saying that, and I'll tell you, when we fail to pray, really what we're saying to God is, I don't need you, God, I can. You say, I would never say that, Pastor. Yeah, maybe never with our mouths, but that's what we're saying with our heart and our attitude. When we don't pray, we're saying, God, I can. When the truth is we can't. What a privilege. Prayer is a privilege because it gives us an opportunity to honor God. To exalt our Heavenly Father. By our simple willingness to put our faith in God, we honor Him. Prayer is a privilege.
We need some folks to get a hold of that this morning and say, you know what?
Prayer is going to be real in my life. I've done goofing around when it comes to prayer. I'm going to get it and ensure that I have time in my prayer closet every day because it's real. When I face a need, when I face trouble in my life, my first reaction is not going to be to go and call this person or go and call that person or call Dr. Laura. I'm teasing. I don't think anybody here calls.
My first reaction is just to go, I need this. God, I need this. I can't do this.
But I know you can. What a privilege it is to pray. Hey, we have many privileges.
I'm so glad that I'm a member of this church, a citizen. And what privilege is to be able to vote and participate in the process that makes this country great? And I participate because to me it's a privilege. And there may be someday, and we may not have that privilege. So I'm going to participate. I want to be able to vote. You know what? What a privilege is. We got to be prayer lines. I don't want you
leaving here thinking, well, you know, everything's okay. I don't think there's anyone here. Maybe you can, but I would have to say that every one of us would have to say, you know, Pastor, there's areas in my prayer life where I can improve. And so this morning, my challenge is for you to allow God to work upon your heart to receive that edification and that exhortation and say, you know what? This is where I've got to work. This is where I have to improve my prayer life. Maybe this morning, you've not been praying. You'd be surprised how many Christians don't even pray. You might pray before your meal. You might whisper a little prayer here and there. But really, get down and spend time in prayer. I mean, even if it's only 10 or 15 minutes, boy, what we need to do is we need to make that time. Maybe this morning you've grown weary in your prayers. Maybe there's something you've been praying for and you've just grown tired of praying for it. You feel like God's not going to answer. I pray this morning that you would say, you know, I'm going to get back on my knees about this thing. I'm going to keep lifting it up before the Lord until He answers. Whatever it is this morning, what a privilege it is to pray. With every head bowed and every eye closed, if you would please bow your heads and close your eyes.